Good morning. Shalom, shalom. Amen. Peace with God and peace of God. Amen. Father, we want to thank you as we get ready to look into your word that you are committed to your written word, Lord, to reveal the living word Jesus Christ to us. And that's what we're asking for, Lord, that your word tells us that spiritual things can only be discerned by the Spirit, God, and that the natural man cannot understand the wisdom in your word. So we pray, Lord, that you would empower us by your Spirit, Lord, to move beyond our limitations of our hearts and our wills and our thoughts, God, and that you would help us to really see Jesus, that you would reveal our Savior in your word today, God, and that you would help us to not only see him, but to love him and to treasure him above everything, and that we would be able to share him as he is with the world. It's in his name we ask, Lord. Amen. Well, today we're going to conclude our Advent series, although we do have a service tonight at 5, and I want to encourage you, please come back if you have not been here for our service of 9 Lessons and Carols. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful time worshiping the Lord, and so we hope you'll come for that. It's actually kind of a shorter service. It's like 5 to 6. It's about an hour. But really just a great time with the Lord every time we have that service and can really feel his presence here. So today we're going to look at the peace that we can have in Jesus Christ. We're going to look at, in the Word of God, that God's peace is promised to us. It is prophetic that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and how we can have true peace in our lives. And it's just ironic that God is not a theoretical God. He is a rubber meets the road kind of God. He's a let's keep it real kind of God. And so I'm just telling you, and I've mentioned it before, but like every week when I get ready to share the Word of God and show anything from the Word of God, the Lord makes sure that it gets out of my head and into my life, you know, that I'm like desperate for the Word. And so, Brad kind of spoke to that earlier when he was praying, just sensing something, you know, just like, Lord, there's some kind of unrest, there's some kind of, would you just come in and give us your peace today? And I was on the same page with Brad. Like, I was totally feeling that same thing in me and just in us. It's like, okay, God's going to make it real. If we're going to talk about his peace, we're going to need his peace, right? So I'm just so glad that God meets us where we are, and he gives us promises for where we are, and he is faithful to those promises. And, you know, I can tell you right now, I really need God's peace today. Does anybody else need God's peace today? Yeah, this world needs God's peace today. And his peace is powerful. His peace is dynamic. His peace is greater than the chaos. His peace is greater than darkness. And, you know, this is a time of year we should be reminded all the time, but there is a deep, abiding peace in the presence of Jesus that he offers to us, and we need it. So today we're going to look at Isaiah 9. If you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 9, we're going to look at John, the Gospel of John as well, and Philippians, if you'd like to go ahead and kind of bookmark those. But Isaiah 9, of course, it's written by Isaiah, as the name implies, a prophet. And he's writing to God's people, and God's people, as we sometimes do and as they sometimes did back in the day, they've kind of lost their way. They've kind of made a lot of stupid choices. They've got in a place where they're discouraged, and they're really desperate for the peace of God and to have hope. And that's, man, that's often me, right? Like I can walk out the Christian life, and I've got my ups and downs and good days and bad days, but he promises peace. No matter what your circumstance, he promises us his peace. So, but that peace is in Jesus. It's in the Messiah. So here the prophet Isaiah, he's telling about the birth of a child. And we know that this child is the Messiah. This is Jesus that he's talking about here. And, you know, as I read this, it's a couple familiar verses, but if I just allow the Holy Spirit to let the gravity and the beauty and the power of what he's saying here hit me, it just drives me to my knees. I mean, I'm just in awe of Jesus. Just overcome with reverence for who we're talking about here. So we're going to start here in verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. The first thing I want us to recognize from the Word of God today, the promised peace of Jesus. The promised peace of Jesus. You know, sometimes we're so caught up in just the busyness of our lives, and it's natural. It's natural to just be so shaped by our times and by our culture, and sometimes we forget that there are commonalities like in every culture in the world. Whether you're in Japan, whether you're in Germany, you know, whether you're in Africa, wherever you are, there are some common things to humanity, and not only today, but like thousands of years into the past, that there has always been chaos because we're messy, and there has always been this deep longing, this desire for calm in the chaos. You know, that the God's people thousands of years ago, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, were desperate for peace. They were desperate for tranquility and calm that would be beyond their understanding, that would be beyond their circumstances, that would be powerful. And it is a peace that can only come from Jesus Christ. There's no other place we can go but to the Prince of Peace. It's living under that governance spoken of here in Isaiah, that we are part of his kingdom. That's where we can have peace and relationship with him. You know, I think about what better time to celebrate the peace that God offers than as we celebrate Christmas. You know, as we celebrate the arrival of Jesus, that first coming of Jesus, it was a fulfillment of a promise that God had made promises to his people over again through the centuries, and they were looking forward to this Messiah who was going to somehow bring peace in the midst of pain and uncertainty, and this divine peace would come through Jesus. So in the Gospel of John, in chapter 14 and verse 27, we see Jesus operating in this role as Prince of Peace that God had given him. And Jesus said, I'm going to leave you with a gift. He said to his disciples, I'm going to give you peace in your minds. I'm going to give you peace in your heart. I'm going to give you peace as a gift from me that the world can't give to you. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. What a remarkable promise. What a remarkable word. Jesus said, I'm going to leave you peace. I'm going to give you a gift of my peace. My peace I'm going to give to you, not as the world gives. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. You know, Jesus distinguishes here between his peace, the power of his peace, and the fleeting counterfeit offered by the world. There's a difference between God's peace and the world's peace. Second thing to recognize today, God's peace is greater than the world's peace. God's peace is greater than the world's peace. And honestly, the world doesn't have any peace to offer. It's got an imitation, right? But there's no peace in this world apart from Jesus. The world's peace can never satisfy you. God's peace can give fulfillment and satisfaction beyond anything this world can offer to you. You know, the United Nations was formed back in 1945. The reason the United Nations was formed is because the world was full of conflict, right? There was war going on everywhere. It had been going on for thousands of years. In the history of humanity, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years of recorded history, there's been very few times that there hasn't been wars recorded all over the world. And so leaders, global leaders, came together and they said, we got to do something. You know, there's always conflict. There's always strife. And so they came together and they said, we need to form this peacekeeping body to somehow, when a conflict occurs, we can kind of step in and intervene. Peace is hard to come by. It hasn't solved our conflict problem. It hasn't solved our problems with wars, because conflict and struggle and strife and chaos are normal for human beings. That's our MO. That's what we do. Apart from Jesus, that's how the world operates. It's normal for nations to act up and to have conflict and war. And if you think it's just nations out there, anybody else married? You know, I've got an awesome wife. I've got a beautiful marriage, and I thank God for it every day, but I'm telling you, there's some conflict sometimes. Now, God uses the conflict for my good, because I trust Him to do it, and He's bigger than the conflict.
That's right.
Through, it's through things in the conflict where He shows me my need, right, for Him. It's things in the conflict in the marriage where He shows me, you're not as like me as you think you are yet. And He holds up the mirror, right? But He's faithful. And I say, okay, God, I confess that You are awesome and I am not. And so I offer myself to You. Would You just reshape that and make that like Jesus? And you know He actually does it. He's an awesome God. You know, if you're employed, you know, right? Sometimes there's conflict with your coworkers or at school or whatever the situation. You know, sometimes there's even between whole people groups. There's all kinds of conflict and strife socially and racially and economically, and there is just so much conflict in humanity. It touches us all. And yet the Lord tells us in Romans 12, He says, that as much as it depends upon you, I command you to be at peace with everyone. Wow. He says, I want you to be at peace with everybody. And I'm like, Lord, how do I do that when I've got conflict with me? I can't even get along with myself. I've got me, myself, and I, and we're button heads. And it goes even deeper than that. In Galatians 5, the Lord says that you've got a sin nature, but I've also given you my Holy Spirit, and they don't get along. Right? The things of the Spirit are in direct opposition, in conflict with the things of the flesh. Conflict is normal for us. It happens. And yet, God offers us peace. Real peace, not just the idea. Peace that you can experience. God's peace. You know, Jesus, He's not only described as the Prince of Peace, He's described as the light of the world. And I find that so many times in my life, I'm just like, Lord, I don't know the way. I don't know the thing to do. I don't know how to have a conversation with this loved one I can't get along with, God. I feel like I'm in darkness, God. I feel like I'm in the ocean and I've got no control here. Like, I got my hand on the rudder, but the waves are just crashing and the wind is howling, God, and help me. And He reminds me, He's the light of the world. And that if I will keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, He's a lighthouse for me. He's like, what you need is to come towards me. Like, don't worry about the waves. Don't worry, that's life on earth. Don't worry about the wind. Don't worry about how you feel. You keep fixed upon me, and I'm going to keep you all right. I'm going to keep you safe. And I find that when I do that, when I understand, you know, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, and He is faithful, and He is powerful, and He is good, and He is sovereign, and He loves me, and He has saved me, and He says, I'm a child of God now, and He says, I've given you my Spirit, and I will guide you. You can trust me. Peace. Peace. No matter what's going on, no matter how much the boat in life is just rocking all over the place, when I fix my eyes on Jesus, I can just, the storms aren't so scary. And there's a peace. There's a peace there. The world can't give that to you. What the world basically says is, you know, the boat is kind of rocky and it's fragile. So what you need to do is go down below deck so you can't see the wind and the waves and just party for a while and forget about what's going on. And what does that help? You come back up. Guess what? All the storms are still there. There's still darkness. It's still scary. What we need to do is keep ourselves focused on Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the light of the world. A little more here in John 14:27, I want us to see. Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind. Peace in your heart. And the peace that I give you, this gift is a gift the world can't give you. And so kind of the flip side. Do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. He's saying, trust me. That's the flip side of the fear. He's saying, listen, no matter what's going on in your life, before I even say that, I want to confess, man, I'm in the boat in the seas with you guys. And I know there's so many things that just tear you up in your life. And you're thinking, Pastor, if you knew half of what I'm dealing with, if one more thing, if one more problem or trouble comes on my plate, I'm not even going to be able to worry about it until next week because I've already got too much. But I just want to tell you that Jesus is greater than all that. And it's normal to feel those fears and those doubts and those insecurities, but there is a promise from Jesus, and he is faithful to keep it. He says, do not be afraid. In its different forms, that is the most frequently seen command in all of the Bible. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Why? Because God is trustworthy. He's trustworthy. John 14 and verse 1 begins with this. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. That's where the peace comes from. Really, Jesus is saying, listen, you're going to go through stuff that's going to make you feel afraid. You're going to go through things that are going to trouble you. And he says, I'm going to give you an invitation to something greater, an invitation to trust me in the midst of it. And you do that by abiding in him. He said, as we do life together, you can't do anything apart from me. But if we abide in him, we have his peace in that relationship. Our third point this morning, I want us to recognize, you must have peace with God. You must have peace with God in order to know the peace of God. Sometimes we want the gift, but not the giver. That's not an option. There's times that I'm all about asking for joy and for love and for hope and for peace and for this and for that instead of asking for the first thing first, which is you, Lord. Give me more of you. I've got all of him, but you know what, Lord, just show me your presence in my life. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it's not there. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing. There is no lasting peace apart from Jesus. Amen, Michael Murray. I thought of it too. So how can we lay hold of that peace that we desire? How can we live at peace with other people? How can we have peace in this mess within ourselves? What can we do? If you turn to Philippians 4 for a moment, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul tells us here, he says, don't worry about anything. This is somebody who's been through it. Every situation you've been worried about, I'm telling you, he's been through the first century version of that. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So where's your peace? Where do you find your peace? It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's not in how good of a night's sleep you got last night. I woke up a time or two. Kim was up. She was having some issues health-wise. She didn't get a good sleep last night, but that's not where our peace is. It's not in how well the baby slept. Did the baby sleep good last night? He did. Amen. Praise God. But your peace isn't in how well the baby slept last night, right? It's not in how the weather is today. I like snow on Christmas. We're not going to have it, but that's not where my peace is. It's not in how things are going at work or not going at work. The word says, as you live in Christ Jesus, that's where your peace is. Our peace is his peace that we experience in him. And it is a peace that doesn't make any sense to the world, that looks at your life and they're like, your life is as messy as my life. Why are you so calm? His peace guards our hearts and minds as we are trusting and surrendered, living in Christ Jesus. Our ultimate peace comes from Jesus. It is found in him. Worldly possessions, not going to give it. You're not going to find peace there. You can get distracted for a minute, but that's it. It's not even in your success. It's not in your failures. It's all in relationship with Jesus. Jesus gives assurance. He gives calm. He gives that be still so that you can know that he is God. That's all from him. There's no other way that you're going to find that. Yeah, I know for a lot of us, there's some joy, but this is a really hard time of year. Got loved ones we miss. Stress. Just busyness. Some of us like routine. We get out of routine this time of year. It's hard. Maybe other people's anxiety is so abundant, it's becoming your anxiety. Listen, I hope that you're ready for Christmas. I hope you are ready to celebrate the first coming of Jesus. Even more importantly, I hope you're ready for a second coming. Because the same word of God that said he's coming the first time, and he did, says he's coming again, and he is.
Amen, right.
And he's offering you and I a gift. He's offering us peace, absolutely, but to know that, you've got to first receive the gift of salvation. If you are here today or you're watching online, and you can be honest enough with yourself to say, my heart doesn't have the peace you're talking about, you can have that today. Jesus offers that to everyone, and you can have that today. It is by grace, through faith, that you are saved. There's no hoops for you to jump through with me or the church or anybody else. It's between you and the Lord. And the Lord's invitation really is just, will you just get honest and admit you're a sinner? Will you just get honest and admit that you have broken God's law, his standard is perfection, you're not there? Will you just admit it to God that he's right about you? But that he's also right about himself, that he's an awesome redeemer who sent his son to shed his blood and to die for you and to pay for your sin. Will you just admit that he's right? And if you will do that today, if we will just be real with God, he will be real with you and he will save you. He will forgive your sins. He will cleanse you. He will make you new. He'll give you, it's a gift. It's a beautiful gift. Salvation's a gift. But along with that, he promises joy and love and hope and peace and meaning and purpose in your life. It's yours for the asking. All you got to do is ask. That's it. It's easy. Well, it's not easy. It's simple. Again, God's word tells us, tell them what you need. You need salvation today? Tell them. Tell them it's what you need. You need peace today? Tell them. You need hope today? Tell them what you need. And thank him for everything he's done, first and foremost on the cross. Thank him for what he's done, and the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will be yours. You can have that today. I'll just be a witness for a minute, because he tells us to be a witness. When I got face down on the floor in 1995 in my living room and desperately cried out to God because I needed him, he gave me a peace that I didn't even know was missing. And there was so much weight of shame upon me that was lifted that I didn't even know I was carrying until it was gone. But I'm just telling you, this is real. The gospel's real. His promise is real. His love for you is real. What he did on the cross for you is real. And you can have that today. Let's pray.